to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? Good Lord willing, there'll be another Bible Readers Banquet, and everyone that reads their Bible through this year can come free of charge. What book are we in?
John
is right. Over here on this first bank, where does Matthew's book start? That's right, in Bethlehem. Well, over Matthew, what's his theme? He writes about the Lord Jesus Christ as a king, is right. Down through here, how about Brother Mark? Where's his book begin?
Bethlehem.
What's his theme? About servant, the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant. No genealogy, no background. Anybody can be a servant. You don't have to have a rich background. Down through here, how about Brother Luke? What's his theme? He presents the Lord Jesus Christ as a man, is right. And where does his book begin? Bethlehem is right. How about over here, Brother John? Where's his book begin? In the beginning is right. Where else? In the bosom. And he presents the Lord Jesus Christ as God, over and over and over again. Open your reliable collection of historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man. Open them up. Brother Teddy, how about praying for us?
You're nobody like you.
Right.
You're wonderful, holy. Oh, you're the great shepherd. You're the great I am this morning. As John said, you're God in the beginning. Thank you for your word.
Yes.
That precious word.
Yes.
Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, as we read your word and study it, Lord, that we cut what needs to be cut. Put the sad where it needs to be put. Because you're our great shepherd.
Yeah.
Yes. We're near our hands. And nothing can touch us. Yes. Lord, that song, just do it all. Lord, I thank you for the mountains, but for the valleys. Yes. The storms sometimes we get rough. Yes. But you're faithful.
Yeah.
Always dependable.
Yes.
Always there.
Yes.
No matter what goes through. Father, I pray for this service this morning that we just bathe in your goodness and your glory.
Yeah.
Wonderful holiness. Lord, may that Holy Spirit walk the aisle, touch hearts that need to be touched. Lord, may you encourage those who need encouragement this morning. Father, there's one here lost. May that Holy Spirit draw us belong to you, Lord. Father, I pray that we go out this week and just be with him for you. Lord, I remember my father-in-law praying many, many times, Lord, send somebody my way, I deal with. You're one, Thank you for the cross.
Yeah.
Thank you for your love.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for your compassion.
Yes.
What a great Savior this morning.
Yes.
I pray that you bless Brother Rick in a mighty faithful way.
Please.
Lord, use him. Lord, be with our pastor this morning as well. May you bless him. And may the word touch us like it's never touched us before.
Right.
May it change us to be more holy like you. May we walk like you and talk like you. And Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you for our country and our leaders. We pray this. Pray for our soldiers. Lord, you get out of harm's way. Thank you for the freedom that we have because we're fighting for it. Lord, you're just great this morning.
Yes.
What a Savior. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Teddy. Now, what chapter are we in?
12
is correct. And for a couple of weeks we've been talking about using the horse as an illustration of a servant, talking about being servants. But we need to remember that every one of those silly examples I used was how not to be a servant. It was the wrong way. We all know, you know as well as I know, there's only been one servant. Capital O-N-E, one servant, capital S, servant. He did it right. I was showing you how to do it wrong, what not to do. But anyway, he'll show us what to do. Let's look at that maybe a little bit. We're in verse 34, I think, John 12, 34. And the people answered him. Well, let me back up to 32 here. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. It's a fact. It's a scientific fact. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Well, they're willingly ignorant, we're seeing over and over and over again. They should have been familiar with this. So let's look at Isaiah 9, 6. We get it once here. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. They should have picked up right there, but I can't quit there. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called capital W, Wonderful, and capital C, Counselor, and capital T, the Mighty God. There's only one. Only one God, the capital, the everlasting Father, capital F, the capital Prince of Peace, capital, and of the increase of His government, of the Son, we're talking about the Son, a government and peace that should be no end, upon the throne of David, upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord, the big Lord of hosts, will perform this. They should have also seen it picked up in Daniel 7. Verse 13 and 14. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the capital S, Son of Man, came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. That all people, nations, and languages should serve him, and his dominion is the everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. They should have known. They should have been aware. Too many times I'm like this. I don't want to know. I don't want to know sometimes. 35. John 12, 35. Then Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. They willingly chose the darkness of the damned. They willingly chose the darkness of Barabbas rather than the big capital L light of the world. They rejected Christ on purpose. On purpose. 36. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself. Discernment. He knew. He knew what was in their heart. He knows what's in my heart. Yeah. Believing is the one needful stop they needed. They needed to stop at him and believe in him. Reject the light and you go into darkness. He now withdraws himself again. We already saw that back in 11:54. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city of Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. He does that again. He withdraws again. If you don't want him, that's fine with him. He'll back off. He'll back off. Let's look at this in John, St. John 1. Starting in verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness. Do you remember when you saw the light? I remember. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's the messenger. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the big L light, that all men through him might believe. There's the motive that we would believe. In verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There's the method. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 10. Starting in verse 10. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Brother Greg and I had the privilege to ride over here with him today, and he was telling me that God put a love in his heart for the Word of God. Isn't that something that would happen? And the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. We'll see more verses on that in a minute. When I reject and reject and reject, after a while, he'll reject me. 37, John 12, 37. But though he had done so many miracles, so many miracles. So the world can contain the books, is what it says later on. So many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. The deliberate, persistent, stubborn, tore up his credentials. The miracles were his credentials. The miracles proved he was God. When he walked on the water, that proved he was God. When he made blind eyes see, that proved he was God. When he made crippled legs walk, that proved he was God. And then when he rose from the dead, that proved he was God. So many miracles. They had no will to believe. No, they wasn't willing. Deliberate disbelief. But the book was written that we would believe. You know that. John 21. John 21:25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Why was the book of John written? You told me a while ago. Look back in 20:31. But these are written that you might believe. Not believe just any old thing, but believe that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through His name, eternal life, eternal life. Those who would not believe eventually could not believe. Pharaoh hardened his own heart 10 times before God hardened it.
Right.
He'll let us go our way.
Think about that right there.
Verse 38. That the saying of Elias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? A picture of willful rejection. It's in Isaiah 53:1, it's what he quoted. Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, I rejected it for 21 years myself. Verse 39. John 12:39. Therefore, they could not believe because of Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted and I should heal them. Continuous rejection ends up in unbelief.
Right.
Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They were blind. Blind leaders of the blind, really. Let's look at that in Joshua 11:20. Joshua 11:20. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that He might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that He might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. Sometimes God would use Israel's enemies to give them a whipping. Sometimes He'd use Israel to destroy them. And Deuteronomy 2:30. Deuteronomy 2:30. But Zion, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand as appeareth this day. Romans 9. Romans 9:17-18. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. When Israel entered into the promised land, the nations around were afraid of them because of what they heard happen, because of Pharaoh and all his armies drowned. Proverbs 1. Now, I almost didn't read this because we read it not too long ago, but when I went over it, it's just too good. It's too good. There's too much in here. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, ye that love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. I get a witness right there. Because I have called, and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. Again, I did this for 20 years, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I set it over here behind my back. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way. Again, the most wicked thing Brother Rick can do is go his own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But that's not you. This is you. You came to church today. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Hallelujah, amen, and amen. Back to John 12 now, verse 41. These things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Isaiah, one more time, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. That'd be him then, wouldn't it? And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. Two, twain's two. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the big Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And again, I was riding with Brother Greg this morning. He's reminding me in biology, everything out there, every little thing out there in creation points to God. Right. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the capital K King, the big Lord of hosts, the Lord of lords, and Lord of hosts." John 12. They rejected Jesus personally. Now He rejects them. They've not opened their eyes for the light of the world, and now they're blind. John 12:42. "Nevertheless, among chief rulers also many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the church," out of the synagogue. Secret disciples, if you will. Let's check them out. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29:25. "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe."
Right.
Talking about that the other day. Baptism is a public profession. You might not have any trouble till after you get baptized. You might. Romans 10. And then everybody knows. See. Romans 10:9-10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Probably not any secret disciples. Probably not. Verse 44 now. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on Him that sent me." Jesus is God. "And he that seeth me, seeth Him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." They became light when they received the light. We're reflectors, like the moon. We're reflectors. We don't have any light of our own. Maybe a mirror. Now, two of these secret disciples take the body of Jesus down off the cross and go give it a proper burial. So I don't know that they're really secret disciples. Doesn't look like it to me. Those two anyway. 47. "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world." There's a danger in hearing the words and refusing to believe. John 3. Starting at 18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." That was me for 20 years. Why? Because he hath not been good. No. Why? Because he hath not kept the Ten Commandments. No. Why? Because he hath not been baptized. No. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now these are losers. But, verse 21, this is you. You're a winner. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's why you came this morning. That's why you're going to stay for 11 o'clock. That's why you're going to come back at 6 o'clock. Because you come, once you get saved, you come to the light. You come to the light. And when you hear the truth, it'll ring true, and you will come to it. You will. 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. Oh boy, how about, I was talking yesterday there with the family, you know, everybody has something they emphasize. Everybody. Every preacher does. Every church does. Now, they might not know what it is. But everybody has something. How about this right here? What if I went with Jesus and the Bible? Would that be a safe emphasis? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. You know, if someone wrote a book that I didn't trust, I wouldn't buy it. But if someone was perfect, wrote a perfect book, then I take that book to heart. I take it and believe it. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. I think I'm just going to go with Jesus and the Bible. Jesus and the Bible. Jesus and the Bible. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Reject. Reject means sometimes to count as nothing. I wouldn't cast it aside and leave it on a coffee table gathering dust. I believe I'd count it as something. Luke 10:16. And you do. I know you do. Luke 10:16. He that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. It's a package deal. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Acts 10:47. Can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Look down in chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. Now in verse 47, they received the Holy Ghost. In 11:1, they received the Word of God. Now which one was it? Or is it the same thing? Yeah, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the man of God was there when you got saved. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well? And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. And Acts 17 then. Acts 17:30-31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. 49, verse 49. John 12:49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment that I should say and what I should speak. If I reject the Son, I reject the Father, and I reject the Word, and I reject the Spirit, and then guess what? They reject me. Reject the Son, you reject the Father. Reject the Father, you reject the Word. Reject the Word, and you reject the Spirit. Verse 50. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John 3, again. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, right now, present tense, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You can take it to the bank. You can count on it. You can depend on it. You can trust it. You can rely on it. John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And then John 15:3. It's over and over and over again in the Bible. John 15:3. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The blood saves us, and then daily we get our feet washed in the word of God. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. James. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, what? Which is able to save your souls. The first thing the soul winners asked me when they knocked on my door, they said, do you believe the Bible? If I'd have said no, I guess it would all ended right there. I don't know. But I didn't. I was scrolling down, and I remember Mama said she believed it. Preacher Pennington, he says the Word of God. Mabel Moore, my first grade Sunday school teacher, she said it was the Word of God. I could trust it. Mommy believed it. Daddy believed it. Mama believed it. And I just went on faith and said, yeah, I believe it. I believe. And then they opened it up and showed me. They showed me. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. 1 Peter 1. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, the capital S Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again by the Word of God. Which Word of God are you talking about, Brother Rick? I'm talking about the one that liveth and abideth forever. If I was caught driving on the wrong side of the road over in London, they pulled me over and I say, well, I'm from Nallon. They said, well, you're in London now. You're in London now. You get a ticket. When you see her, Buzz got turned right on red and had a little talk there. When next time you see Buzz, you might bring that up to her. I think we got time to start chapter 13, maybe. The title is The Talk in the Upper Room, which I've turned right on red too. May have done it this morning. I just haven't been stopped and talked about it. The Talk in the Upper Room, chapter 13. 1 through 12 is about the light. 13 through 17 is about love. 18 to 21 is life. John's Gospel is a salvation book. We already read it. We won't go back there again. It's chapter 20, verse 31. It said, these things were written that you might believe.
Right.
It's about salvation. But you know, he doesn't mention the Lord's Supper.
Right.
If it was essential for salvation, I think he'd have told us about it. I think that's an ordinance. That's after you get saved. It has no part. The blood does not become the fruit, the juice does not become the blood.
Right.
The bread does not become the body of Jesus. John also doesn't mention tongues.
Right.
He don't say anything about it. Must not be essential for salvation.
Right.
The whole book was written that you might believe.
Right.
Nothing about tongues. Nothing about the Lord's Supper. But now, John chapter 1 verse 9, that's essential. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's essential. The book is written that I might believe.
Right.
Now verse 12, John 1, 12, that's essential.
Yeah.
But as many as received Him,
right,
to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's essential.
Yeah.
That's essential. That was written so that I would believe that Jesus is God. Now verse 29 there in chapter 1, John 1, that's essential. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now that's essential. That's essential. But evidently, communion is not essential for salvation. It is essential for communion. For communion. After I get saved, to commune, not to get saved. Let's look where it is essential. 1 Corinthians 11. Baptism doesn't save us, doesn't help us get saved, not even a little bit. Not essential for salvation, but later on for fellowship, just like communion. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He comes. I'm supposed to do it, but for fellowship, not for salvation. Another title for this chapter could be Looking to the Cross When Double Crossed. The Lord Jesus got double crossed. His friend sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver. This is the talk in the upper room. The Lord leaves heaven, comes down, takes the place of a servant, and washes the disciples' feet. No defilement whatsoever. Holy, harmless, and undefiled. That's the Lord. That's the picture. Here's the one servant, the big O-N-E we was talking about, the big capital S servant. Here's a picture of him. Let's look at it in verse 1. Here's the table. Verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew. You might call this chapter a know-it-all.
Yeah.
He's not a smart aleck like me, but he is a know-it-all. He knows everything. Omniscient. Look here in verse 1, he knew. Verse 3, knowing. Look down in verse 11, for he knew. He knows everything. He doesn't just know that I'm here, that I attend. He knows why I came.
Right.
He knows if I wanted you to see my new tie. Or show off my new haircut.
Yeah.
Something like that. He knows why I'm here. He doesn't just know I'm here. He knows why I'm here. He knows why. John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, He knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Whom He loves, like He loves, He loves to the end. He's not going to quit on you. He's not going to... None of this, the Lord's been good to me so far. No, He's not going to quit today. He's not going to quit today. This is His facts and His feelings. Here's His foe in verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. He made a pact. Judas made a pact with the priest. Matthew 26. Matthew 26:14. Starting in 14. And one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me? And I'll deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray. And he made an agreement with hell. Isaiah 28. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and our falsehood have we hid ourselves. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And then also in verse 18. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down under it. He washed their feet, and he knew he was going to depart out of this world. He loved his own unto the end, and for fellowship daily, we wash our feet. He came to the cross. We came to the cross and were washed all over with the blood. We better quit right there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Thank you. You're so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.